Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth is Out There radio show, and we got a special guest. Before I bring our guest in, I'm going to bring my co-host on with Scarlett. Scarlett, how are you doing this evening?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing great. And we got something really special today. We have a gentleman by the name of Gary Pratt. He's a very big country singer, a songwriter, and also an energetic country entertainer who connects with his audience. This is a gentleman who had the pleasure of singing at the Tennessee State Fair, Rocky Gap Music Festival, CMA Fest. He has been opening acts with such greats as Mike Yoakam, Pam Tillis, Laurie Morgan, Ronnie Mishap, and Crystal Gayle, to name a few. Let me introduce you to Gary Pratt, who has two country songs in the top 30 in the country Billboard. Gary, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing there?
Doing great. And we like to get in right off the stop. You know, you have a song that you, I found out that you dedicated to someone that passed away, and you're dedicating it and you did the album for.
Yeah, that's how the album sort of came about. That's how I got the idea for the album. My brother passed away about 4 years ago, and actually yesterday was his birthday, too.
Wow.
And I wanted to do something, you know, in his memory. I was actually recording a Christmas album at the time, and I got this idea to do this new project, and I wanted to dedicate it to my brother. And yeah, it's been a blessing. You know, I know he's looking down on me, and I know he's proud of what I'm doing, you know, in his name. But we were in the studio working on a Christmas album, and I said, let's do something else. I started writing some new songs. I started looking at, I wanted to do an album that had also some named Nashville writers on it too. Usually I do albums that are just my writings. And I wanted to do something with, you know, some other people on there just to get that, you know, that extra push on the album. And anyhow, we were in the studio doing the songs, and I was happy with what was going on with the album and everything, but it wasn't quite making sense to dedicate it to my brother. For some reason, it just wasn't – it just felt weird to me. And my producer ended up bringing this song into me called Something Worth Remembering, and it was written by Tony Arata, who wrote the dance for Garth Brooks. And he said, would you be interested in recording this song? He said, let me play it for you. As soon as he played this song, it reminded me of my brother, and I knew exactly what order the album was going to be in. I knew exactly what song was going to be first, what song was going to be last. It was like the key to the whole album, and that's why we named the title song for the album is Something Worth Remembering. And it ended up being perfect. It was like a godsend, this song. And it made the whole album make sense. It made it, you know, really, I was real excited about that song. And then it made the album just like, wow, I can't believe one song could pull the whole album together. But, yeah, I miss my brother a lot. And
There's an angel looking over your head.
You know what? There is.
Sure, how it kind of came together.
You know what? There is. Everything that I seem to get involved in, it always seems to work out well, the way it's supposed to. But you don't know what's coming your way until everything just works out. It's like you look back and say, wow, somebody was guiding me. So I do believe there's an angel watching over me.
So you end up with that, and then you had two big hits coming out, Country to the Bone. How did you get a hold of doing that one? Because that's your big hit right now.
Yeah, that's my big hit right now. That I wrote that song. And, you know, it's about how I love country music so much. Actually, I wrote that song a few years ago, even before we started doing this album. And I let the musicians and my producer and everyone listen to it. And I said, yeah, let's do something with that. And we actually we released it around Halloween time. We thought that was probably pretty cool. If you watch the lyric video, it's on YouTube. It's pretty cool. We have these skeletons dancing and everything. But I wanted to do something that was more country. The album like consists of stuff that's, you know, a little bit more modern. Then we have stuff that's like really with something with a twang, you know, and that one sort of has a twang to it. And just trying to let people know, you know, what I sound like on different things. And it's a sort of a rocking song too, but people are loving it right now. You know, I go out to sing it and they have a dance to it, and they're out there mm-hmm. doing their line dances to it, and it's a fun song. And yeah, I'm real proud of that song. I wrote that, like I said, a few years ago. And then the first song that came out on the album is called "The Song You Can Drink a Beer To." And it was written
too.
Yes, like I said, Michael Stover. I'm on MTS Records. They're just doing a wonderful job putting those songs out. And what's really cool about that first song, Song You Can Drink a Beer To, is Michael goes, what song do you want to release first? And I was thinking that should be the right song, but, you know, I want their guidance. I want his guidance as to what to do first, because he knows more about what's out there and, you know, what people are looking for and what the radio will play and, you know, what people want to listen to. And I was thinking of that song. I didn't tell him. And he came back, he said, I think we should do a song you can drink a beer to. And I said, that's what I was thinking. And that song really took off, and they were playing it in Nashville, Las Vegas, New York, you know. And I've had so many interviews, and that's what broke the ice for me. I've had interviews all over the world, and it's amazing what, you know, one song, if someone's actually hearing you, because a lot of people have never heard of me before until I signed up with MTS.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, MTS is a very very big organization. We're part of that, and it's excellent. And Michael is a great guy. We know him for over 10 years, and he's great in the entertainment field. And I agree with you on both songs. And I actually watched the video of both songs, and
okay.
It brings back memories in a lot of different ways. With the songs, with the country, the beer drinking, and stuff like that. And the country to the bone with the skeleton dancing and the line dance and all that type of stuff, the line dancing and the skeletons and all that.
Yeah.
It brought back memories on that because I have a friend that went to school to become an x-ray tech, and they have a skeleton there, and they were actually dancing to the skeleton in a little prank. and that brought back the memory of that. So, you know, it works. I'm gonna send her the video. But
that would be awesome. Yeah, that'd be great. I actually thought about that.
You were born and raised in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I was. Raised in a very small coal mining town, probably about 25 miles east of Pittsburgh. I still live in the area, a place called Greensburg, a town called Greensburg. It's a little bit bigger than a coal mining town, but my parents still live in the original house that I grew up in. And you know, I tell you what, growing up, you know, then so much different than growing up now, and I'm sort of happy I grew up when I did, you know.
Drew you into singing, and are you self-taught on playing instruments in those days?
You know, I've always loved music, before I could talk, I was up dancing around, but country music was always passion for me. I had some cousins and uncles. My dad plays a little bit. I did have a cousin who was in the band, and I remember that one time when I was like 10 years old, we went to a picnic and his band was playing. And I was just like, I think that's when I sort of realized, you know, I said to myself, when I grow up, I want to be a singer. I want to be in a band, you know. And by the time I was 15, my parents, we advertised and I came together. Most of the people were like, you know, over 21 at the time. And I think it was a benefit for me because we could play a lot of different places that, you know, if I was just band with people my own age, I don't think I'd have been playing some of the places that we played. And I really... there's only one time in my life that I quit playing music back from Nashville. I was sort of discouraged and just sort of like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. So I quit actually singing and doing stuff for about a year, and I was like a miserable person. I wasn't happy in anything I did. Probably wasn't very nice to people. I don't know, but I don't know. God told me that, you know, hey, or I heard it somewhere that, you know, if something makes you happy, you should do it. You know what I mean? As far as like some kind of, you know, something that you're passionate about, because God put that in you for a reason. And so I figured, well, okay, you know what? I'm just going to do my music. I don't care if I'm in my basement the rest of my life doing it. It makes me happy. I'm a creative person. And, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, I started doing that, and then I ended up being, you know, getting a lot of followers, got some gigs and a lot of followers around here, and I actually have another business that actually gave me the financial ability to get this record, you know, put together and get it presented to MTS and that, and, you know, I don't know, like you said, you know, there's an angel watching over me, and I think everybody has one. It's just that I really think that you need to go for what God puts in your heart. That's why he put it there. And I don't know,
exactly.
I just always love country.
I always love country music.
And that's, you know.
Sometimes you need to see the different roads in life and have a step back to see what actually is there for you to utilize on your plate.
Yeah,
you make all these different decisions in life and how it work out. And you follow your dream, which is the best thing, because today you're a huge success. You're very well known. Have you ever played at the Opry in Nashville?
Pardon me?
Have you played at the Grand Opry?
No, I have not. Yeah, I probably played every place in Nashville at the time when I was there. And, you know, I did showcases and all that kind of stuff. I never played at the Opry. The Bluebird, I did play there one time.
That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah. But I'm playing some bigger places now that the album's out. Just opened up for Neil McCoy here in the Pittsburgh area.
Now that everything's opening up and we're becoming normal again, you know, the opportunity to seize the moment and play to people is where it is again.
Right.
You know, when you get there and you get to go on stage and express yourself. You know,
it's one thing that I, which
you have and they have.
Yeah, one thing that's real benefit to me when we were going through the whole, you know, everybody, you know, was in sort of lockdown from COVID.
Yeah.
I was working on my album at the time, and so I really wasn't missing my gigs. I was concentrating mostly on the album, so that was sort of a benefit during that time. So I was doing music, but I was not doing gigs, but I was focusing on, you know, this project. So actually, I went down to Nashville to record one of the songs that's on the album with a duet partner, which I had never met till I went to Nashville, actually. Her name's Savannah Nider. Me and my producer, Brian Cole, drove down, and Nashville was sort of like a ghost town because nobody was out. No one could go to parts. But you know, we were confined to our rooms. But I did a lot of writing when I was there. Something about Nashville, when you're going there, your creative juices just start flowing. But, you know, it was nice to go back and see the place. I wasn't back there for a while. It's grown a lot too. So,
of all the people that you open up with, what was your favorite?
Pam Tillis. Yeah, Pam Tillis and Lori Morgan. They were super. They even came knocking at my my door, the dressing room door. I mean, the guys were in there practicing and heard this knock on the door, and I was like, I mean, that is, you know, open the door up, and they're standing there, and they're like, hey, you guys sound really good. And they said, you Gary? And I said, yeah. I'm like, I could almost hardly even talk. I was just like, because I love Pam Tillis, always did. And
there
I was like, I was like starstruck, you know. And she goes, we're going to get pizza. You want to get pizza with us? And I'm like, yeah. But they were super. They were just so nice, and I really got to interact with them, you know. Not, you know, some of the artists you don't get a chance to do that. And you know, they had me signing autographs right beside them, and they were just
very
down to earth
women. Very nice.
You were awesome. Yeah, awesome.
So we actually have in the studio, we got two of your songs, and we're going to play the one that you started, and we'll finish off with the one that's now a pretty big hit. But we're going to play the one that you really started with, and that's a song too you can drink a beer with, you know.
Okay, cool.
Hold on.
And you're having the time of your life. Maybe you're falling in love. Maybe you're breaking up. Or there's a steel guitar playing or a bass line bumping. You're grabbing a cold one. You wanna hear a song you can drink on.
I hear that song brings back like the line dancing and drinking beer with my friends and stuff and riding the boat back in the day when up in the Fort Worth area and Dallas area in the triplex when I was back there back in the 90s. You know, and if you want to go even older than that, like back in Huntsville, Alabama when I was stationed in the parties over there. So, you know. So it's
yeah,
a great
hey,
song.
You know, thank you. It doesn't matter what situation you're in, a good or a bad one. You know, you always need a song
yeah,
to drink a beer to.
That's key there. But, you know, but I'll tell you, the one that really gets me is Country to the Bone, and we'll play that a little bit. But
yeah,
I'll tell you, it's really, really important that we bring back into country and to listen to the words of country because it's better than other stuff that's out there right now.
Some of the genres yeah. are just not setting the country straight with our young ones.
Yeah, you know, I see some of the newer artists, you know, some of them seem to stay to their country roots, and then there's some that's going out there a little bit too far that I really don't care for, you know, some of the stuff they do. I'm not saying they're not good at what they do. I'm just saying that, you know, country is country, and, you know, I love country music for because it's country music. You know, it is what it is. And changing
when
it to...
When I listen to country music, my two biggest loves are Patsy Cline and the Coal Miner's Daughter. Okay, Loretta Lynn, I love them. You know, they're very small town. They're very family oriented. That's one of the reasons why I love country. Okay,
right.
I'm about family, and I'm about respect, and good stuff.
And
yeah, it's about
me,
roots too. It's about where you come from. You know, yeah.
But me, I like the environment, the ambiance of going to a country club or a bar, and just the people, the boots, the hat, the whole nine yards, and the dancing, and all that stuff, and the women there, and all that. It worked out fine, and it's different, and it's everybody together, in celebration of whatever they want to celebrate. Plus, of course, all the sports.
But you have that small stage. You have that small stage, and it's intimate, and the crowd. I mean, there's nothing wrong with playing a stadium like Garth Brooks. Not knocking.
Right.
Where you have 60,000 people just chanting your music, and just buzzing all over you. Okay.
But it's different when you do the clubs and do the things. It's totally different because you're right in. right with the people without worrying about so many things, and you get involved, and the energy from the crowd itself builds up and all that.
Yeah, and you know what else? When you're on stage and you're in a smaller arena, you can sort of see what's going on out in the audience too and how people are reacting. And I've learned from, you know, some of the people that I've opened up for, it's you can make every show different by just interacting with the audience and sort of bringing them into the show. And I love doing that. And it's easy to do as long as you keep your eyes open. You're out there watching the people, and you're into the people as much as they are, you know, into you. And it just makes the show come off so much more personalized in a smaller area. Yeah, definitely.
And that makes it a great show. I'm going to play the...
When you're doing your show, do they sing along with you, or they dance,
you know,
they jump up and down, you get the whole thing?
People are, I have, there's always people out there dancing and doing line dances, of course. But when people are yelling and that's great. That makes me feel really good. But I can always pick out a certain person out there that really, I just did a Christian show the other night at a church, and there was one lady that I was just fixated on because she was just really enjoying it, and that makes me feel good that, you know, I'm reaching at least one person out there. But I love interacting with the people and seeing what they're doing. It's a great feeling, and when they're singing songs that are off my album now, you know, that's just amazing. It's just like, wow, they know the words to my song. You know, that's so cool.
That's important, and I love that when that happens with people, and because the crowd that you're part of, we all sing together, and it makes the show even better.
It just validates you.
Do you remember the first time you were driving in your automobile and you had the radio on, and you heard your tune come on the radio?
You know what? I knew my song was coming on the radio at a certain time, and I had this radio at home, and I'm like, I can't get that station in. So I had to drive until I got that station right on my car so I could listen to myself on the radio.
That's cool.
There you go. Anyway, I'm gonna play Country to the Bone. Hold on.
Got a few miles to go. I like to listen to hate.
country to the bone, and that's actually number 17 on the Billboard country charts as of today. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Gary, are you in 2022, this year, are you coming out with any new albums, or are you going to concerts? Or,
you know what?
Any
I have some ideas for some new songs and that, but right now this album still has a lot of life into it because there's so many songs on there. Like the songs that we've played tonight, you know, they're fun songs, pretty much so. And there's some serious songs on the album. We want to get some people listening to those. I know the next song that will be coming out shortly is a ballad that I wrote called When It's Our Love That's Lost. And I believe that's going to be the next single off the album. But I want people to, you know, concentrate on this album right now. But I do plan on doing some other things in the future, you know, pretty much with the same group and team that I have right now, and because it's working, you know, and like I said, people are listening. I mean, I just won International Singer Songwriters Male Songwriter of the Year this year because of the album, and was up for Josie Music Awards and Hollywood Media Music Awards. I just found out yesterday I'm up for three categories in the Holland Red Carpet Awards. And one of my songs, which I'm not sure of which one, but one of my songs off my Christmas album we did earlier is up for the Social Stars Awards. So, you know, a lot of things are still happening with this album, but I definitely plan on doing, you know, another album.
Wow.
There you go. Are you?
I had to get that out there.
We're going to be promoting you on that. But are you going and doing any touring, like going down to Florida or something?
I do some shows down in Florida. Usually not till it'll probably be like October, November. You know, things have been slow because of the pandemic and everything. But been doing some shows around here. Actually, I just got a big show coming up. The date's not set yet, but it's around here in Pittsburgh. It's a theater. It'll be my own show. I'll probably have somebody opening up for me at the lamp.
Okay.
That's
exciting.
You know, I'm not,
I love it.
Yeah. But hopefully, you know, if I get a chance to tour, definitely I would. That's a no-brainer there.
Yeah, we're here in Florida, and we call us the Freedom State because we don't have any of this stuff that's going on, and we'll open up.
Where are you at in Florida?
We're in Broward County, not so free as the rest of the state, but yeah, pretty much we're in Broward County. I'm in Sunrise.
Okay, I know that area very well. Yeah, I have a timeshare down there, actually down in Pompano Beach.
Okay. All right, that's
yeah,
not far. We're about a mile and a half away from what we call, it's called BBT Center, which is where the Panthers play hockey. So, we kind of go against you because you're in the you're like the Pittsburgh Penguins, and we're the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
But
that's all right.
Yeah. But it was interesting. I used to grow up in New York, and my team was the Islanders up there. And I had a friend that has family in Cherry Hill, and we used to go into Philly and pass what that time was the Spectrum. We used to go, "Let's go Islanders" on his PA system, and we get all the A's thrown at us. But that's the type of thing. But sports is another good thing around with.
Steelers are playing tonight. You know, big deal, and you know it's a big deal up this way. You know. We're getting a bunch of snow too right now, but I'll be watching the Steelers in a bit here.
Yeah, Steelers.
I met Mean Joe Green because I went to school in Pittsburgh. I went to the Art Institute of Pittsburgh, and I stayed at Duquesne University. So downtown, I was in Bell Telephone, where you had tables where you had the phones on there and you can call the table. And him and his wife were sitting there. So I kind of walked over to him This is back in the 70s, like 79, when the Steelers won, and I walked over and I introduced myself and I said, I'm a great fan. And I sat down and I had a meal with him and his wife, and it was great. So I'm a big football fan, just as my team. But I mean, I was there, I was cheering them on, the Pirates and the Steelers. So great town.
Anyway, I want you to give out your website and where they can find you and how to get to in touch with you, gig or anything.
Sure. My website. On my website, you'll see a lot, like the videos. You'll see interviews. You'll see different reviews and news articles. You can read all that kind of stuff and listen to them. I have my songs listed and a lot of buttons for, like, if you want to join me on Facebook fans, you can do that. You can go to all my sites and you can get the music from Amazon, all the music media sites, Diesel and, you know, whatever music. You can get it on iTunes. I have some videos out there on YouTube. You can go to those sites too and just look me up, or you can just go right to my website, which is www.garypratmusic.com.
And, can you spell that for my audience, please?
I sure can. GARYPRATT music.com.
Thank you.
And
follow me on Facebook.
I'm following you on that, among other things. So we've been marketing, promoting you off of that.
Good. Great. That's great. Yep. More people out there listening, and, you know, email me. If you, even some young people out there, you know, somebody I could help out, you know, that's, has a question or whatever, you know, email me. You can get that email address off the webpage, and, you know, I'd be happy to help whatever I can do, you know, as far as directing you in the right direction.
Are you connected to any special charities?
I do a lot of stuff for, it's called Relay for Life. It's a cancer program. They raise funds, you know, for research. Actually, I wrote a song one time called The Relay for Life. It's out there on YouTube and out there floating around there too. That's a pretty cool story. A friend of mine was working on Relay for Life, and I had done some things for them, you know, opened up their shows or their programs and that in the morning sometimes when it's like a weekend thing. But she said, I'm making a video for Relay for Life. Could you write a song for it? And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, how am I going to do this? And I was like, I don't know what came over me, but I went to sleep. I woke up the next day. The song was in my head, and I wrote the song in about 5 minutes, and it's called The Relay for Life. And it's out there on the YouTube, too, if somebody wants to check it out.
There you go. Well, I want to thank Gary. I want to thank you for coming on. It was great. We love your songs. And I'm going to call it the song to a friend of mine with the Country to the Bones, because the skeletons and stuff. And so get a kick out of it. As far as that, we love your songs, so we want you to come back on again, and we'll keep promoting when you get your new songs going. You know, whatever album, whatever song you want to promote, let us know. We'll put you back on.
Or you have an event you want to tell people, just let us know.
Okay.
Oh, that's
we'll be more
awesome.
Than happy
you
to
guys
post
have been
it around
great.
And bring the audience
all
to
right.
you.
Yeah, I'll email you guys and or whatever. Yeah, I have your email address. But thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you for taking
the
time.
We appreciate
we love
you. Thank
you
so much.
It. And go Steelers.
All right. God bless
right.
you guys. I appreciate it.
Have a great
it.
Evening.
Bye bye.
All right. You too.
Bye
bye.
That was Gary Pratt, and we thank him. He was a great guy, and I hope we'll have him on again. And he's going to be a success. And we're going to continue with that. And we love those songs. And, and the next song that comes out, we're going to mark and promote him. Now,
multi-talented.
Okay. Now you got only about 15 minutes left. We had him on for 45 minutes, which was great. And we played the both songs, and it was great. But we'd be remiss if we didn't start talking about what happened last night. And you got just a couple of things. One, what happened in Texas, that was a pure simple terrorist attack. There was a Pakistani that took over a synagogue in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and held four people hostage, including a rabbi, to try and get another terrorist released from a federal prison. It ended up where the hostages were all was released safely, and then the terrorist was killed, which was a good thing because we don't need them around. But if you notice, the media is not calling what it is. It was Islamic terrorists, and they do all kinds of different things to hide that fact because they're in on it. And that's the thing. Now, that's the good news. And more good news is the fact that yesterday in Florence, Arizona, the real president, President Trump, had his first rally of 2022. And we had somewhere around 45,000, 50,000 people that went, that were at the actual rally. It was the largest crowd ever to attend a rally in Arizona. There's another one coming in Texas, a couple in Texas in near Houston, on a week or 2 weeks from yesterday, on the 29th. That's the next big rally, and that one's going to be in Texas. So we're going to see what that. But what's unique is that wasn't for RSPN and Newsmax and Rumble and things like that, you wouldn't know it was out there because none of the media was covering it. Except we had over a million people watching on RSPN's platforms, between the three platforms they had. Plus, Newsmax had said there was like 8, 9 million people total watched it. They can't stop us, and they never will. And the truth is out there, and we are getting it out there, and the election is stolen, and he talked about it. And one thing he did mention, Trump, was that a few days beforehand, he was going to order 10,000 National Guard troops to the Capitol. Nancy Pelosi told him, turn them down. And that's because it was a setup by Pelosi to begin with. And this whole thing, the whole J6 stuff, was nothing but a communist setup by them to try and destroy a guy that's been successful in the White House. And that's all that did. And you got idiots like Mike Pence, who's no longer involved in any politics, even though he looks like he wants to run. He ain't going to go nowhere. He'll get 0%. And he's just a total loser out there. Now, I know Scarlett has some information that she might want to talk about. I guess not. Okay. Things in life is about music. One of the things that we do is we like to play music and like to get musical guests on, entertainers, and we have a whole list of stuff coming on in between. We got Lady Redneck coming on Wednesday at 7:20. We got Rabbi Barry Silver coming on a week from today, the 23rd, and that's going to be a very interesting 45, 50 minutes worth of discussion back and forth. We're not going to walk off sets. We're not going to shut the phone lines down. We're going to have the chat room open like we had today. We have people in the chat room listening to Gary. It was great, and we're going to continue with that. We're not going to have five-minute call lines or any of that stuff. You call in and want to talk to Barry or any of our guests, you can stay and talk as long as you want, as long as you don't personally attack anything or anything like
respect.
That. You got to talk respect. My cousin once said about respect, you earn it. She's right. And we would do that. And we got to earn that respect. But we keep the lines open. We got
Speaking of respect, we lost somebody this week, Ronnie Spector.
Ronnie Spector, famous singer, going back to back in the 60s, 70s, and so forth. You know, and then we had many other people pass away recently, and it's not from COVID. It's the natural causes or other things. But it's not from COVID.
And we won the vaccine mandate. No more mandate.
Yeah, no more mandate.
No more
but
shots.
There is a,
no
but
more
there, was it, it's, no, for the private sector, there's no mandate. But right now, there's still a mandate for the government sector, which is being that's going to be challenged separately, and then it goes back up to Supreme Court.
You know what? That has nothing to do with me. You work for the government. You assume the deal. Okay, you work for a radical numbnut, then suck it up.
You know, and really it's crazy stuff going on.
There are many
that.
Jobs out there in the private sector, and you can say, leave it. And you get good benefits. It's not like you don't get bad, you get bad
you
benefits.
Know,
yeah. Yes.
The biggest problem right now is that people don't want to work. There are actually more jobs than people out there, and they're so scared of what COVID. Come on, it's only a cold.
Oh please.
Omicron, especially cold. It's in it. You're gonna find out that there's a lot of people dying
from
something.
They're in on the fix. The left is just fixed.
We are in a great state of Florida, a free state of Florida. Now, we got an idiot that is comparing Ron DeSantis to Adolf Hitler in the name of Nikki Fried.
Oh, they compare Trump to it.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, she is more like Adolf Hitler than anybody else because she wants to silence people, and that's bad news. And she wants to basically manage people. She wants mandates and everything else and take over the government.
I already had a mother and a father. One set was enough. Don't need another set. Okay? Yeah. I am an adult. I have experienced life.
Well,
I can make decisions right or wrong. So the left can take a...
We're going to confront Nikki Fried when she comes on the show in a couple of weeks. So in next month, in February, we're working on the exact date and time, but she's coming on the show. She agreed to it, and we'll have a nice little discussion about the difference between freedom and socialism and communism mandates and stuff. Now, before we get, because we're running out of time, we got to remember two things. One, there is a major boycott on AT&T because what they did to One American Network.
OANN.
Yeah, and what they're doing with that. And so Trump said, I'm not going to speak about boycotting AT&T, but boycott AT&T, you know, with this little thing.
And
what they did to Mike Lindell with
exactly.
the banking in Minnesota. They're trying to silence us. We're not silenced.
But
we got
you know
many
what?
Platforms.
What he does to help people with addiction is a serious problem. But they want them. They want people to die. It's called Agenda 21 genocide.
Yeah.
Okay? They don't care. They want the fentanyl.
So this is what we're
doing. They want these people to die. They don't care. They want to control.
This is what we're doing.
What?
They were shutting down the Lindell Recovery Network. Lindell Finance is going into recovery. And they were trying to shut, that's one of the bank accounts that's being shut down by this bank in Minnesota. So this is what we did. We got the numbers and then we called them up and we said, no, you know what? Every person that ODs because they didn't get the resources thanks to what you did, we're going to charge you a first degree murder. How's that? Sit on that. Because you're going into prison, and you're going to die at the electric chair because of your hatred towards people.
And that's first-degree murder. So
that's a death penalty for my friend.
And everybody who's
and
in
everyone's
Heartland,
not calling anything.
Is that Heartland Bank? Is that the name of them? Pull out your money. Go to another place.
Hank, pull your money out. Tank the stock. Get rid of them. They are not good for anyone. They're killing people.
Walk out of your job there. Fight for your freedom. You don't have to work for a place.
How many addicts are going to die because of that? That's the problem. You know what I mean? Talking about mentally ill, that's a mentally ill situation right there. You know what? Maybe they should be certified mentally incompetent.
And it's mean and selfish, and it has no rhyme or reason. And they are controlled. They are robotic. They are, yes, Mr. President. I'll do anything you want, Mr. President.
So much, well, they kill people over it. And that's what this leftist, that's what the communist is. And
they are Marxists. I have everything and you have nothing. Got news for you. I think it's the other way around. I've got life. I'm happy. I'm full of joy. I live it. I live my dream. And you are maniacal and unhappy, brain-dead idiots.
So anyway.
So stick it.
You know, anyway, that's what's happening around right now. But the great thing was the fact how many people over there. I'll tell you, at the rally yesterday,
you can see for miles the people. They were there.
According to the sheriff, they said their cars were 25 miles back. 25-mile-long traffic jam to go to this rally.
With their cell phones in the car, and they're, like, listening to him.
Yeah.
And he really gave an exceptional speech. And it was windy. It was freezing there. Okay? It was cold. You could see the people, but they just were there, and
yes.
they were so excited, and the truth is, the people are there, the left is underestimating the conservatives. We will never bow down to you. We will never eat your tyranny, ever, ever. We are patriots. We will fight.
Carrie Lake is going to be the next governor in Arizona. She is the great inspiration, great speaker. She was there.
Youngkin Jr.
Yeah. Youngkin was sworn in, and the first thing he did was eliminated CRT and the indoctrination recruitment to be things that you're not. And see, the CRT around the country promoting hate to our children so they can hate this country and turn into little
and you know what the joke of it is? The First Amendment gives them their right to speak, and they're so stupid.
Now, I'm
they're taking
tell you,
away their First Amendment rights on themselves.
Now, this past week in Law and Order SVU, they did something really I'm pissed about because it's more indoctrinating recruitment. At the end of the show, Noah is the 8-year-old kid, and she was talking to Hackney, mother in the show, and said that, you know, talking about bullying and stuff like that. And he says, well, I'm bi, 8 years old. And there was no such thing as being a bi as 8 years old. There is no such thing of a sex of knowing who you are sexually at 8 years old. That is indoctrination recruitment. We filed. This is what we filed a lawsuit on behalf of the American people against Law and Order SVU and Dick Wolf and enough.
They will retract
Hackney
that.
To stop that. They need to retract it. That's child abuse.
It is.
And we are looking for criminal charges against Dick Wolf on that. This is wrong. And I'm friends with Dick Wolf, and I'm pissed off by him. And we told him that you've got to change that because you're indoctrinating, recruiting people that are not true. There is no way in hell it's 8 minutes. Anyway, 8-year-olds going in. Anyway, we got to end this show. It's almost done. Wednesday is Lady Rednick at 7:20. The show starts at 7. So for about 15 minutes, we're going to do all of the news. Lady Rednick will be on. And then we'll finish up.
I'd like to thank Gary Pratt again. Great, great voice. Very awesome.
I urge everyone to go to his
website.
GaryPrattMusic.com.
And listen to his tunes. They are really, really rich. And he's got harmony and talent. And
anyway,
he's going to have a big name. So you could say his big name came from the truth.
Anyway, you want to say good night to
everybody? Good night to everyone. I'll see you on
Wednesday.
Scarlett. This is Scarlett Butler saying have a great week.
This is Joe Goldner saying good night to everyone. Listen to us again. Remember, 8-year-olds don't know what sexual orientation means. Do not be a fool. Do not commit child abuse. It's indoctrination recruitment. God bless you all.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart.